This morning, we're going to continue our series, The Whole Bible to the Whole World, and the title of this message this morning is in the form of a question. And the question I'll give to you as we start this morning is, are you making an impact? Are you making an impact? To phrase it another way, is your life noticed? Is your testimony for God seen by those that you know? By those that are around you? Are your words for God heard? You know, the apostles, as we're going to see this morning, I think, in Christ's strength, they made an impact on the city. And that should be our desire as well, to make an impact on those around us. Not just an impression, but an impact for the glory of God. That they realize that there is a Savior, and they realize that there is hope in this world of sin. You know, as far as our passage this morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to begin reading here in a few minutes from the beginning. We're not going to cover this entire chapter, but as we get into it, I want to read it so we kind of get a context of what's taking place. We saw in the, if you read the previous chapter, you find that John and Peter were on the way to the temple, and they saw a man who was crippled from birth, begging and seeking some help. Actually, he was looking for money. That's what he was hoping to get. Well, they didn't have any money to give to him. But the Bible says that they shared Christ. And in the name of Christ, this man was healed and given a new life. And he was rejoicing and God blessed. Well, the life was changed. And people noticed that. And so they gathered around to discover why. What had taken place? How could this be, seeing this man run around who'd never walked in his entire life? And the Bible tells us that Peter and John gave credit to God. They didn't accept any credit of themselves. They said it's God's power. It's in the name of Christ is why this man is able to walk. This man's been changed by Christ, not by us. And so they gave the credit and the glory to God. And we pick it up here in verse 1 of chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Now, just stop there and think about that. It's not talking about women and children. It says the number of men that believed on Christ on that day was about 5,000. They made an impact on their city on that day. And it was through the power of Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. As we'll see in this chapter, the Sadducees came upon them, they took them in to interrogate them, and Peter basically presented the same message to them that he gave to the people. He said, it's not us, it's Christ. If you'll notice here, in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Once again, Peter said, it's Christ, it's not me. It's Christ who has provided the power for this life to be changed. This morning, we're going to see the impact that these men made. As the council continued, they conferred. You know, they were a council. This was a group of men that had gotten together, the leaders of Israel. And the Bible says that they conferred together. After Peter gave them this message, they conferred. And if you'll notice in verse 13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. This morning, we're going to look at those two verses. And we're going to see the impact that these men made upon not only the city, but the rulers of the Jews, the leaders of Israel. And we're going to notice three conclusions that they came to. First off, we're going to see that they concluded it was impossible for these men to do what they did. It was. I think I could argue that right now. It was impossible for these men to heal that man. It was impossible in their own power. Secondly, we're going to see the influence
that Jesus had on their lives, the apostles. And then thirdly, we're going to see the impact that was made upon the city. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. I thank you for those that are out this morning. As we continue to look at this passage, I pray that you open up our hearts to your word. Help us to be sensitive to the leading, your leading, Lord. And I pray as we see the truths here that we can be encouraged and if need be challenged. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to find in this conclusion, I think, we're going to find the world's view of these men and their work of God. Have you ever thought about what the world thinks of you and your work for God? Not just you necessarily working in your career, but your testimony, your life for God. If you're a believer here this morning, your words, your conduct, your actions, what does the world think? Your worldly friends or just people you come across on a daily basis, what do they think about your life? We're going to find out here this morning that this group, basically, they came to three conclusions concerning these men. And the first one was, they concluded that this was impossible for these men to do what they did. Notice what they said. It says here, we're in Acts chapter 4, and it says there, we've already read it, but we're going to read it again. It says in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived, notice what it says, they perceived, they took note. It says that they were unlearned and ignorant men. It says they marveled. That word to marvel means to just be in awe. You just flabbergasted. They couldn't believe it. And here's why they couldn't believe it. The Bible says that they concluded that the apostles were unlearned and ignorant men. So let's consider this conclusion that they came to. I believe it was a correct conclusion, as we're going to see. First, it says that they thought these men were unlearned. Now, that implies someone that is has no degree, basically. They're unlettered. I guess you could say these men didn't have a diploma of any kind. They didn't have a formal education, is what they did not have. And so they looked upon these men, and they concluded, hey, these men have no knowledge, as far as they were concerned, no knowledge of the Scriptures, no knowledge of training, I guess of the teachings that were provided in that day. And so they concluded that these men were just common men. They were uneducated men. Now this morning, if you're a common person, don't worry, here in a minute we're going to see that God used these men. God often uses men and women that the world doesn't think that God can use. And God uses them for His glory and for His honor. And so we find here that the apostles had no formal training. They didn't attend any of their schools of higher learning. They didn't have degrees. They didn't have an education. Now, I'm not against education this morning. But I tell you what, education doesn't mean you're spiritual. It doesn't mean you're right with God. You can have knowledge in this world and you can be completely on the other side of what God would expect. We find here this morning that these men had no degrees or diplomas. They didn't have any private training. They didn't receive any tutoring from any of the scholars of the day. And that's why this council was surprised. That's why they marveled. They looked and said, these men are unlearned. They've never come to our schools. Nobody's ever awarded them anything. How can this be possible? Secondly, they said that they were ignorant. Now, ignorant does not mean someone who's stupid, so to speak. It means someone who has no knowledge. You know, we're all ignorant in some areas. Nobody knows everything. Some can walk out there and they can look at a vehicle and they can take it apart and put it back together. I can take it apart. Putting it back together is something else. I'm ignorant when it comes to that. People are ignorant in different areas. It doesn't mean that we're foolish. It's just not having knowledge. And we find here they said these men are ignorant. Now, I think the ignorance they're talking about is knowledge, what they thought was correct knowledge for these men to be preaching and teaching spiritual leaders. Because these men had been preaching and teaching and a man was changed. And so we find here, once again, it implies that they didn't have the knowledge that the people thought they would have. You know, we're talking about Peter and John. What we know about Peter and John is they were fishermen. And the Bible tells us those were basically your everyday laborers during that time. It was hard work, difficult work. This is what they did for a living. This is what they probably thought they were going to do the rest of their life. And guess what? We find nowhere in the Bible does the Lord discourage that. Nowhere in the Bible was their occupation looked down upon or frowned upon. Actually, all that happened is God took them from that occupation and made them apostles and led them in a different direction. But we find that they were fishermen is what they were before God called them. They were not proven leaders of the people. They didn't work in any public field. Now, this morning, I'm not against that, but we find men who were just common men. And because of that, these leaders were just confounded how these men could have an impact on the city like they were having. Keep in mind, 5,000 men had just believed. That means their lives were changed and their families were changed. We're not talking five or six. We're talking 5,000. In one instance, in one service, were changed. And so they're confounded how these men can have this impact. This morning, I think I agree with that conclusion. It was a correct conclusion. It really was impossible to look upon these men and think that they did anything in their power to produce the effect in that man's lives or even in the lives of those that listened. You see, it wasn't the men. And Peter and John made that clear. It wasn't them. It was impossible as far as they were concerned. They were uneducated. They were ignorant. They didn't do anything that someone would consider to be great. Let that sink in for a minute. You see, God does not need our abilities to do His work. God does not need our skills to accomplish anything in this world. God used these men to produce a great blessing in Israel, to make an impact upon the city. Why did God use these men? I believe because they were willing to be used. They followed after Him. They wanted to be taught. And they sought the leading of the Lord. Also, God works through those that are humble. Often, pride is what prevents us from being blessed, thinking we have done something or that we can do something, instead of humbling ourselves before God and allowing Him to lead. There was a missionary. Some of you may have heard of him, the late Hudson Taylor, missionary to China for many years. God used him in a great way. He was actually the first missionary that actually went inland into China, not just on the coast, but worked himself really into the land and saw a multitude of people saved. There are still the effects of his ministry today in China. The people were saved back in the 1800s. Well, he traveled to Australia, Melbourne, Australia, for a meeting. He was asked to preach. And he arrived, and before he got up, the moderator began to introduce him. Well, he really introduced him and didn't say anything false, but really, really just, you know, talked about his ministry and all that he did and everything that he did and all of his accomplishments in China. And then finally, at the very end, he said, "Here's our illustrious guest." And Hudson Taylor, a veteran missionary, they said he walked up and he got behind the pulpit and he put his head down for about 15 seconds. And then he looked up and here's what he said. He said, "Dear friends, I'm just a little servant of an illustrious master." That's why Hudson Taylor was blessed. He was humble. Yes, he had skills, but those skills were from God, and he recognized that. He didn't think he had done anything. He worked for God. You know, this morning, if we're going to make an impact on the people around us, we have to humble our hearts before God and let Him work through us, not attempt to do it in our power and strength. As a church, if we're going to reach this city, if we're going to make an impact here, we have to humble our hearts before God and let Him work through us. And let Him be the reason why people are reached. You see, it's not us. It's God who works through us. And so the Lord worked mightily in these apostles. Here's the second conclusion. We're going to have three conclusions. Here's the second one here. Notice we're in Acts chapter 4. And we've read there in verse 13, he says, "They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." It says they marveled. Now notice the second conclusion. "And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." The first one is the impossibility. The second one is the influence. We have this council standing or sitting, however they're communicating with each other, and they say, "This is impossible. These men could not have done what they did." But the evidence is there, so something happened. And so they began to talk things over, began to discuss the situation, and I imagine it probably came up more than once that these were the same men that had followed Jesus. These were His apostles. These were His disciples. These men were seen with Jesus when He taught before He was taken and crucified. And so we find here that they recognized the knowledge had to come from somewhere else, and they concluded, hey, they had been influenced by Jesus. You know, this morning, those you are around will influence your life eventually. I mean, at first it may be no big deal, but if someone continues to live in the world and around the world, eventually it's going to wear off. It just will happen. You'll start acting like the world, talking like the world. And you may be a believer, but the world will influence you in the way you think and the way you live for God. It'll influence your thoughts, your words, your conduct, you know, vice versa too, though. You know, if you're in church and you're faithful and you put yourself around believers, then they're going to influence you as well. They're going to encourage you. They're going to strengthen you. And they're going to encourage you, and it'll be seen in your words and your thoughts as well. That's why it's important to keep company with good people. Make sure you pay attention who you fellowship with. Now this morning, the council knew these men had been with Jesus. Now think about that for a minute. For over 3 years. Now, not just for a month, but for over 3 years, these men were in the presence of the Son of God. I tell you what, I can't wait till I'm in His presence in heaven. These men were in His presence for 3 years with the Son of God. They got to see Him with their eyes. They got to hear Him with their ears. They got to watch Him and observe Him and learn from Him. And during those 3 years, you think about the teachings they heard. Now, we have some of those recorded in the Gospels. But John makes it very clear that Jesus did a lot more than what we have recorded. And so these men had firsthand training from Jesus Christ. I mean, could you imagine being able to sit and talk with Jesus Christ? The questions that He would answer, the advice He would give, the counsel. I mean, directly one-on-one. That's what they had. For 3 years, they had that. And they had opportunities to ask questions. And often they received detailed teachings and detailed instructions that we have recorded here. You see, they got to hear the truth from the Son of God. Secondly, they heard Him pray. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about hearing Jesus pray? They heard Him pray, and on a few occasions they recorded it. But they heard Him talk to God the Father. And that's why we find that they asked Him how to pray. You know, we find the apostles never asked Jesus how to preach or how to teach, but they asked Him how to pray. So His prayer life must have been powerful and influential on them, that they wanted to know how to pray, how to talk to God the Father and seek His blessings in their life. Also, they watched Him perform great miracles. I'm pretty sure they noticed that Jesus never failed. I'm sure they noticed that He never turned anybody away. Everyone that came to Christ was not only healed, but they also went away changed, different. And I'm sure these men noticed that. You find that in the Scriptures. You know, most importantly, they observed Him on a day-to-day basis. You know, you can trick someone. People can trick someone, you know, sometimes. You know, we can put on a show. We can do what's right for an hour or two or even a day or maybe a week. But for 3 years, they traveled with Him. For 3 years, they observed how Jesus handled different situations. You know, they saw Jesus get angry, but they also saw how He handled it correctly. They saw when He was persecuted. They saw when He suffered. They saw Him humbled and attacked in many different ways. You see, they got to see Jesus live life. And they got an example of how they were to live life. You see, they got to see Him act in public, but also in private. You see, private, that's who we really are. You know, anybody can put on a show for an hour or two in public or throughout the day, but when you go home, that's who you are. They got to see Jesus in private as well. And they got to see a perfect life. You see, they were able to observe Him. And you know what happened, I think? That rubbed off. Yes, they had the power of the Spirit. The Bible teaches that. But what we find is they learned to be like Jesus Christ. And that's what this council put together. They said, hey, they were with Christ. They're acting like Him now. They're all of a sudden, there's great things happening just like what happened when they walked with Christ. There's no difference there. You know, the question I have for you this morning is, have you been with the Lord Jesus? Think about that. First off, have you fallen before Him with humility, seeking His forgiveness? That's where it begins, salvation. Have you fallen before Jesus Christ, understanding your sin before God, recognizing your need for forgiveness and asking Him to forgive you? You see, that's the reason why He went to that cross, to pay for our sins so we could be saved, so we could have a new life, so He could work in us and through us. You, this morning, I ask you that. Have you been before Jesus? Do you understand what He did on that cross for your sin? He paid the price so that way you could be free. I want to pray everyone here saved this morning. If not, that's where it begins, trusting in Christ as your Savior. Afterwards, for you believers here this morning, have you been with Him in prayer? Today? Yesterday? This week? Did you pray to God? Have you been to Him in prayer? Have you sought His counsel? Have you looked for His strength? Have you asked for His wisdom? Have you asked for His guidance? Have you worshipped Him in prayer? Given Him the respect that is due Him as the Son of God? How about this? Have you been with Him in His Word? He's given us His teachings. Have you been soaking up those teachings? Do you read them? Do you apply them when you find them? You see, this morning, we can be with Christ as well. Now, we're not with Him physically, But the Bible teaches spiritually we can be with Him. We can learn from Him. We can be encouraged by Him through His teachings and through prayer. And I think if we are with Christ, of course, if we're saved and if we're in His Word and we're seeking Him in prayer, then others are going to notice that because we're going to be changed. Our words will be different than the words of the world. Our conduct's going to be different than the conduct of the world. Where we go and what we do is going to be completely different than people of the world because of Jesus Christ. That influence that's going to be in our life is going to direct us. People are going to hear it in your words. They'll notice it in your conduct and they're going to observe it in your ways. The question is, have you been with Christ? Even as believers, we can become stubborn and we can go back in the world or try to act in the flesh. And next thing you know, we can be just like the world. People can look upon us and they say, you know what? There's no difference there. There's no difference between them and me. Why should I come to church? Why should I trust in Christ? You're just like me. You live like me. You act like me. You talk like me. You go to the same places I do. There's no difference there. If we're going to make an impact on this world as individuals, as believers, as a church, then we have to walk with God. We have to be in Christ. You see, it's in His power that we live. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This morning, if you're saved, Christ lives in you. You have that new life. You have the power to live for the Lord. I was under the mistake for a while seeking power from God. God's already given that power if you're saved. We just need to yield to Him and walk with Him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. One of my favorite verses, all things, not some things, not a few things, all things, not in my power, but in Christ, we can do all things because He's almighty, because He's powerful. He's the Son of God. You see, Jesus Christ made the difference on that day. It was Christ. And that's what this council recognized. They said, hey, these men are different. They've been with Christ. He has made the difference in their life. Has He made a difference in your life this morning? Has He made a difference that others see and others notice? This leads us to our third thought, and here's the impact. Notice what happened here. And verse 13, we read it again. He says, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Notice verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Here's the impact now. This was the third conclusion that this council made. This council had apprehended the apostles, gave them an opportunity to teach, and Peter brought a message and pointed to Christ. And then the council got back together, and they were coming to a conclusion. First, they said, this is impossible. These men can't do it. Secondly, they said, well, they've been with Christ. Now, I want you to think on this. The first two conclusions, they could probably argue a little bit. The first one, think of this. They could argue all day that the apostles were ignorant and unlearned. I think the apostles would probably agree with them. Say, you're right. We are ignorant and unlearned. Secondly, they could do what they did when Christ was alive. They could deny Him. That's what they often did. You know, Christ performed miracles, and the people denied it, some of them. And some of them actually said, he's doing this in the power of the devil, so they can attribute the power to something else. But here's the third conclusion that they couldn't argue against. And that was a fact that this man had been changed. And the Bible said he was standing amongst them or with them. I could imagine these men. Now let's just use our imagination for a minute. These men who don't want the apostles to continue preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus, even though the people have been changed and lives are being changed, and they're here arguing with them and saying, this is impossible. I know you've been with Jesus. And each time they get ready to come to a conclusion, I can see them looking over and seeing this man. And I can see him grinning from ear to ear. Standing on his feet, maybe he's hopping around. I mean, he had never walked in his life, and now he had the ability to walk. I don't know about you, but I'd be running around. Maybe he already did a few laps around the city, testing out his legs. This man was walking, and each time that they would come to a conclusion, they'd look over and say, what do we do about this? The facts are the facts. This man's walking. He never walked before. You see, every argument ended with the fact that the man was changed. I could just hear him. Well, these apostles, they don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant. They're unlearned. Christ has been crucified. And then someone would point out, well, yeah, but look, there he is. I saw him racing with the children down the street this morning. There he is. Oh, okay, well, what about this? And they start thinking of another way. And then they say, well, There he is again. He's smiling, waving at him, walking down. That was the problem. There was a change that took place. And so they could not deny that change. You could say what you want, but this man was walking. This man's life was changed and everyone saw it. And that's why the people gathered. That's why the people listened to Peter's message. And that's why lives were changed. And that's why there was an impact. Because this man had been changed. He was given a new life. And the apostles were able to make an impact in the name of Christ. You know, this morning, here's some thoughts on this. We are left here as believers. If you're saved here this morning, this is for you. You're left here to represent Christ on earth. You know, the Lord could have called you home the instant you were saved. He could have. You know, when you were saved, you think back to the moment you were saved. You trusted in Christ as your Savior. Right then and there, God could have said, all right, it's settled, it's done, your eternity's secure, come on home. But He chose to leave you here. And He didn't leave you here so you could run back to the world, to your old ways. He left you here so you could be like this man who was walking. You could be a testimony to the power of God. You could be a testimony to the change that God has provided in your life. Your old friends come around and say, hey, let's go do this. And all of a sudden you say, no, I can't. Well, how come? I've been changed. I have no desire for that anymore. God's changed me. I don't want to live that way anymore. Sin has no control over me. Yes, I'm tempted, but guess what? I got the power of God to overcome it. You see, that's the testimony that we can have in this world, a testimony of change. Just like this man here was changed. And people can say what they want, but if you're living for God, you've been changed. It's going to be noticed. It's going to be seen, and people are going to recognize that in some way. Your attitude will change. Your conduct will change. Where you go, what you do. You see, this morning, that's the impact we can make on this world. The impact is the change that God has made in our life and how that change can take place in their life as well. You know, there are people today that are struggling in sin. Maybe you have friends, maybe you have family members, neighbors, co-workers that are struggling in sin. They're discouraged. They don't know where to turn. Well, you have the answer if you're saved. You could, if nothing else, you can say, you know what, God has changed me. He's given me victory over that. He can do the same for you. Victory over sin. You see, we're left here not only to be a testimony, but we're left here to share with others the power that Jesus has to save. And that's what the apostles did on that day. They shared it with that man. He was changed. That's all they did. They did it in the name of Christ. He was changed and given a new life. There's a story, a true story from my understanding, of a missionary in Africa. And he shared with a church this story of how there was an elderly woman that he met while he was starting churches there in Africa. And he led her to the Lord. And this woman was blind, and she could neither read or write. But she was excited for God because her life had been changed, given a new life. And she wanted to share that with others, and she didn't know how. Well, she came to the missionary after a service. She met with him, and she asked him, she said, can I have a copy of the Bible in French? Now, she's blind, and she couldn't read or write. She said, can I have a copy of the Bible in French? And the missionary said, sure. So he went back, he had a copy, and he grabbed it and brought it to her. And she had a favor. She goes, can you do me a favor? And she said, can you underline John 3:16? I want to read it to you, John 3:16. We'll turn over there. She said, can you underline this for me? In red, it says there, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. She said, can you underline that in red? And then can you mark that page for me? The missionary said, okay. And he did. He underlined that verse in red and he marked the page and he gave her the Bible and she left. Well, the curiosity got the best of the missionary after a few days. And he was just curious what she was up to, what she was doing. So he followed her. He saw her walking in town one afternoon and he followed her. Didn't say anything, just followed her. And he found that she went to the local school. And she stood outside the building. And as the young boys would come out of the school, she would ask one, as they came walking out, she'd ask one, she'd say, do you know how to read French? And if the boy said yes, she said, would you do me a favor? She'd give them the Bible. She said, would you read this for me? And they'd read the verse, for God so loved the world. Whosoever believed in him, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And they'd read that verse, and then she'd look at it, or she'd say to the boy, she goes, do you understand what that says? And then she'd proceed to tell him about Jesus, about salvation, and about how her life was changed. Now, that missionary said, 24, a multitude were saved. 24 of those boys became pastors. Think about that. An impact. That's all it was. She didn't do anything out of the ordinary or anything extraordinary. She cared about people. So she just took the message to them, explained it to them, and let God work. And guess what God did? He worked a miracle. And lives were changed, no different than on that day. You know, in closing this morning, do you want to make an impact for God? You know, the message was, are you making an impact? I guess I'll close with this question. Do you want to make an impact for God in this world? Do you want to be like that? Do you want others to not only see God in your life, but also come to Christ because of your testimony and your words? This morning, it's really simple. Just two thoughts. First, you must have Christ yourself. You must be saved. Because if you don't have Christ, you can't share Him with somebody. So you have to be saved. And I guess I can't impress that more than, if you're not saved here this morning, that's something you need to settle. Get that right with God before you leave. Make sure your sins are forgiven. You've trusted in Christ as your Savior. But afterwards, all you have to do is share it. You must know Christ and then share Him with someone else. It's as easy as that. Know Jesus as your Savior and then tell others about your Savior. Have your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're going to have a time of invitation this morning. If God has worked in your heart here today, in any way, this is an opportunity where you can seek Him in prayer. You can pray right where you are, or if you want to come down to the altars this morning and pray at these altars, you're welcome to do so. And maybe here this morning, there's someone here that God has, worked in your heart. And you just have a desire to reach out to your friends and your family, even to strangers, just anybody you come across. You want to share with them who Jesus is. Well, you know, this morning is an opportunity where you can seek the Lord in prayer. Ask for His wisdom, His guidance, to give you opportunities to be a testimony, to make an impact in this world like God would want us to. You know, as the piano begins to play this morning, I encourage you to seek the Lord in prayer. If there's anyone here who has questions concerning salvation, if you want to know more about salvation or if you want to have questions about what it is, please come down. We can take the Bible and show you from God's Word what it is to be saved, how you can know that you're saved and your sins are forgiven.